Welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. My name is Molly McLaughlin, and I own a company that optimizes sleep through technology, accountability, and behavioral change. Each week, I'll be interviewing world-class experts ranging from doctors, innovators, and thought leaders to give actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to become a more skillful sleeper. Let's jump into your dose of practical sleep training. Welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. Today's episode is all about sleep supplementation. Specifically, we really dive into magnesium. And one of the reasons we do that is there's so much bio-individuality as far as what types of supplements make sense for different individuals to take to support their sleep journeys. And we are not absolutely in the business of just shouting out different things that you might take or might not take. We really want to encourage that people are testing and creating a protocol that makes sense specifically to them and for them. There's an entire area of study known as chronopharmacology, really the science of time as it relates to the type of drugs that you might be taking in. And on a more basic scale, that can be drugs like caffeine, alcohol, THC, et cetera, but also your supplements, and knowing that not only do certain supplements make sense for certain individuals or do not make sense for certain individuals, it's also about the timing of when you're taking these. So some of these supplements that you might have been taking for years, you could be doing yourself a disservice just based on even the time that you're taking them. So there's a lot to be considered for what you are putting into your body. And so we really want to be responsible on this topic. And in the face of that, magnesium is something that I do feel more comfortable on as far as a generalized suggestion for people to explore. Now, of course, none of this is ever medical advice, but it can be something that can make sense for a lot of us to look into just because of the high prevalence of magnesium deficiency that seems to be present in our society, as well as how that could have particular implications around your sleep results. Now, even personally, on a personal note, I do not take too many supplements, and that is really by design, but the ones that I do take are mindfully chosen with myself and various functional medicine doctors and practitioners and what have you. But one of the things that I do consistently take for my sleep and overall health is magnesium. And the one that I do take is with this company that we're speaking to today, BioOptimizers, that has a really unique blend and thought process around how they're putting together the magnesium. So I think you're going to be really interested in what we discuss today. But first, a little bit about our guest. So our guest is Wade Lightheart. And a little background on him. He's an author, athlete, nutritionist, and expert on fixing digestion. A three-time Canadian national all-natural bodybuilding champion who completed as a vegetarian, former Mr. Universe competitor, host of the Awesome Health podcast, Wade Lightheart is one of the world's premier authorities on natural nutrition and training methods. Having majored in sports science at the University of New Brunswick, he has authored numerous books on health, nutrition, and exercise, which have sold in over 80 countries. Wade also serves as an advisor to the American Anti-Cancer Institute and is the co-founder and president of BioOptimizers. That is the company that we're speaking about today as it relates to this magnesium supplement and other supplements that you could explore with the company, a digestive and health optimization company. He's been in the health industry for over 25 years, coached thousands of clients, and is sought after by athletes and high-performance-oriented individuals worldwide for his advice on how to optimize their health and fitness levels. Now, BioOptimizers has been featured on many of the biggest podcasts in the industry, including Bulletproof by Dave Asprey, Ben Greenfield, Melanie Avalon, and many others. Few alive have traveled further or crusaded harder on behalf of helping individuals transform their digestive health, wellness, and overall lives than Wade Lightheart. After competing in Mr. Universe and his health failing him following a competition victory, Wade began to search for answers. In the process, he learned so much about what makes digestion work, along with other principles that form what he calls the awesome health system. And another thing that we're excited to announce is that BioOptimizers has sponsored our podcast. So we are really officially making that announcement, and we are so grateful for this. And it feels really aligned to have a company sponsor us. That is something that personally I use every day and many of my clients use. So if you do want to check out more about that company and actually what they're offering in specifically for our sleep audience, is found at MAG Breakthrough, MAG, M-A-G in relation to magnesium, magbreakthrough.com/sleep-as-a-skill. And you can use the promo code sleep as a skill to check out the magnesium formula that they've created that blends together many different types of magnesium in a thoughtful manner to help support your overall health as well as your sleep. So I get a lot of questions around sleep supplements, and I'm very hesitant to just throw out a whole laundry list of possibilities. One, I don't think it's the most responsible thing to do. I really do believe in testing to see what types of supplements make sense for you. And two, because I really truly believe that most of the things that you can do to improve your sleep are behavioral, psychological, environmental in nature, and often don't cost a dime. However, there is one supplement that I personally take every day and that I do feel quite comfortable with suggesting for most individuals to experiment with because of a couple of reasons. Its high safety profile and high rates of deficiencies in our modern society. Some put the numbers as somewhere around 80% of the population being deficient in this one area, and that is magnesium. So magnesium has been called the calming mineral, and some report that magnesium can increase GABA, which encourages relaxation on a cellular level, which is critical for sleep. Magnesium also plays a key role in regulating our body's stress response system. Those with magnesium deficiency usually have higher anxiety and stress levels, which negatively impact sleep as well. Now, before you go out and buy a magnesium supplement, it's important to understand that most magnesium products out there are either synthetic or they only have 1 to 2 forms of magnesium, when in reality, your body needs all 7 forms of this essential sleep mineral. So that's why I recommend a product from my friends over at BioOptimizers. They have created something called the Magnesium Breakthrough. And taking this magnesium before bed helps you relax and wake up refreshed and energized. And while we don't recommend that you go too nuts on looking at all the sleep stage classifications on all your wearables, I will share anecdotally that many clients have reported improvements in their deep sleep trend numbers. Again, I don't want you going nuts on the sleep stage classification numbers on your wearables, but I do want to let you know about that because I know that many of you do reach out on questions of how to improve your deep sleep. So I also love that BioOptimizers offers free shipping on select orders, and they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee on all their products. Plus, they have a customer satisfaction rating of 99.3%. Very impressive. And you can get 10% off Magnesium Breakthrough. Again, this is the same magnesium that I use every single night. And finally, you can get 10% off Magnesium Breakthrough. Again, that's the magnesium supplement that I use every single night by going to magbreakthrough.com/sleep-as-a-skill. And be sure to use the code sleep as a skill for 10% off. And welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. Really, really excited to get into this conversation today. So Wade, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you are a busy, busy man. So thank you for taking this time to discuss sleep with us today.
Thanks. Great to be here, Molly.
Awesome. All right. So without further ado, because I am clear out of some of our conversations so far that you are just a wealth of knowledge in this area of health and well-being and really how to continually stay educated, stay at the top of your game, dive in deeper on all things related to wellness and performance, and really so standing so strongly behind those things that you've created this incredible company to really help facilitate that. So wanted to put the spotlight onto you for a minute, just to kind of share how you found yourself in this spot that you're in and how you've created this and how that relates to sleep.
Yeah, great. Thank you for that. Well, I've been actually considering that a lot as I'm a few weeks away from turning 50.
And oh, happy birthday. Happy early birthday.
Thank you. And I think when you get to I like to think of as a biohacker, 50 is probably in a reasonable expectation, the halfway point of life. If all things line up.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people are looking to extend that. And I think sleep is a big element of ensuring longevity. And it's something that becomes more challenging as we get older oftentimes. So I think I've thought a lot about my journey in the last, say, particularly 35 years. I think when I was 15, I got into bodybuilding and fitness. And essentially, we were the original biohackers, I think, bodybuilders, because you're trying to overcome two genetic evolutionary components. One, to carry more muscle mass than you're genetically inclined to, and to lower body fat levels to an aesthetic idea defined by the sport, but certainly against biological survival. And I'm going to lead this into this. So I've spent 35 years of working on overcoming genetic and evolutionary tendencies in order to have a higher level of performance and potentially extend life. And there's been a tremendous amount of failures and a few successes. And our company, Bioptimizers, first identified one of the big issues, which also has an impact on sleep, and that is digestion. Mm. And so we got known. I had a digestive issue after competing at the Mr. Universe contest, wrecked my digestion and needed to come out of it. We did, and took us about 6 months to fix it under the guidance of a doctor, but then 4 months to kind of master the nuances between a wide variety of people, because I think a lot of people don't separate, say, double blind studies from clinical research. And so what you can, when you have all the parameters controlled in a research component, which everybody cites nowadays so they can borrow on authority and credibility, at the end of the day, that doesn't always translate into applicable functional effectiveness in the real practice. And that's why they need people like you to kind of help them out, because there's a wide variance between a double blind study and clinical experience and all of the genetic components. Because let's say someone doesn't produce the statistical result that you want in a double blind study. Well, with some information and clinical research and some knowledge experience, you can apply the art of biohacking so that you can assess the factors that are not allowing that person to get the result they want, and then transcending it. And this is what I did as a coach in bodybuilding with my own life and then with other people, is what we develop products around. And now we're in a very unique time in life from a human perspective and the human experience. So let's say humanity has been around 100,000 years, a million years, whatever that number is, because there's so much variance about that historical data, et cetera, depending on what part of the world you live in.
Yes.
What we can all agree on is, based on the last, say, 2,000 years, we can be pretty confident about what happened historically. The level of technological innovation that has transpired in the last century alone has radically altered the physiological responses in humans. And what I mean by that, EMFs, mass food production and distribution, massive chemicalization, and rapid technological innovation that overrides previous biological patterns. In other words, blue light, EMF, excitatory chemicals, overt stimulation, light in general, and its impact on the circadian biological rhythms, not to mention an increased level of anxiety and a decreased level of physicality. And I can say from personal experience, I have seen a shift in that 35 years from when I was a young boy, literally living in the middle of the woods with very little light pollution, working manual labor jobs. Believe me, nobody in that group has a sleep issue.
Yes, 100%.
They don't have it.
No.
They don't have it. Yet if I walk down the street here in Los Angeles and talk to 100 people, at least half of them have a confirmed sleep problem.
Yep.
And probably 80% of them have an unconfirmed sleep problem. And another 10 or 15% are on the way to a sleep problem, but they don't quite know that yet or haven't suffered the effects of it. So why is that? And I think you do a great job of identifying those factors and how to overcome them.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one, thank you so much for kind of giving us the rundown of, because this is a big topic. We're addressing so many things. And when we talk about sleep in particular, you know, people might think that, well, okay, so you just take a couple of these key supplements and you're good to go. And it's so much. Yes.
A lot of people are using drugs too. We always have to identify the boogeyman in the room.
Yes. The boogeyman in the room, even better, is so huge because this is one, some of our most popular podcast episodes have been about people that have found themselves either on their, in the midst of having years of taking different, you know, benzodiazepines, hypnotics, or they're on the other side of it and they're looking to see how to wean off of those. And, you know, so that gets to be a very murky and really challenging topic. And so to look to understanding that that's a possible path that many people can go down. And that's part of my story too, is I went through this whole period of insomnia while traveling internationally on the heels of just massive kind of burnout, mega stress, serial entrepreneur in Manhattan, all of that. And at one of my lowest points, I went to the doctors and what I was given, you know, no affront to them, but struggling with sleep and was the result was here's Ambien. And so in, you know, that's can be a common path that many people go down. So having said that, thank you for illustrating all of these variables that are at play to a particular group. And to you make the illustration, draw the line in the sand that for those manual labor, you know, individuals and the people that are really out there in these elements, they might have, there's a different conversation that might be at play as far as the sleep component is concerned. So it's layered, it's nuanced. And from that place, then I know for you, you have continued for all these years to kind of biohack. What have you seen over the years that has evolved to help support people in their sleep?
Thanks for asking. So I'll let you, your listeners, on an inside joke that Matt, my business partner, I had dealt with for years because I'm a type of guy that works really well on 6 or 7 hours sleep. He's the type of guy that preferred somewhere in the range of 8 to 10.
Yes.
We would argue about sleep, among other things. He's a ketogenic guy. I'm a plant-based guy.
Got it.
And we run a company together. And we don't see those as negative differences. I think it provides us opportunities to be a little bit more 360 in our applications of everything that we do in the company and be mindful of that. Because the goal is not to be part of a dietary tribe or a conceptual tribalistic component. The goal is to get the desired outcome in the most expedient way with the most benefits towards it and the least liabilities. That's yes. That's set point. So one of the things that came up was a book called Your Sleep Chronotype.
Yes.
I heard of that. And so it turned out that I'm quote unquote a lion. He's quote unquote a bear. So that ended the argument at that point. So we were like, okay, so there's variance within this. Cause I feel fine if I get 7 good hours of sleep.
Sure.
Yet later on, like yourself, I was traveling the world, serial entrepreneur, and ran into a position. I wasn't a type of person that had problems with sleep, but about 5 years ago, I ran into a major sleep problem and it accumulated with travel, but also working hours outside of the normal parameters, as well as a reduction in physical activity.
Yes.
And with that little micro experience, and that led us to developing Magnesium Breakthrough, and that's a whole other topic because that's related to sleep. But at the end of the day, I was overstimulating the nervous system from creating an anxiety type response, and I'm not an anxious person by nature. And I had no way of draining that out through physical exercise where I actually fatigue the musculature of the body. So I'm fatiguing the nervous system, but not necessarily the musculature, which would go into a repair stuff. And so I'm in this endless loop. I'm stimulating myself with electromagnetic frequencies and blue light, and I'm not able to move around, get grounded, things like that, that I normally do. And it was a disaster. And so I can appreciate people who struggle with sleep. And that was we went at it. Matt and I went at it. Now, I've learned a lot from Matt. He's a guy that's invested a tremendous amount of money in his whole sleep program. And because he recognized it was one of the biggest hacks out there, getting a good sleep. Now, I'll say one other piece on that too. And this is, maybe I'm just an old guy waxing about the past. I'm a biofeedback guy in the standpoint, I go by how I feel and how I visually look in the mirror on how I'm responding. Do I feel good? Do I look good? And when I mean look good, I'm not trying to be an Academy Award winner or an actor. I always say I got a face made for radio. But
I don't know about that, but okay.
But the point of the matter is when I started in this biohacking world before it was called biohacking, we didn't have any testing elements that are come in there.
Right.
Now, testing elements today, when you're tracking sleep, there's a certain same as body fat with DEXA scans or any of the biohacking device. There is a point where you need to be able to correlate the data with how you feel, because how you feel is an evolutionary biological system that's long tried and true billions of years of evolution to get to the human stuff. So I'm more likely to try that, where I think a lot of people, particularly younger people or more tech savvy people, will be more integrated in the tech side. I think the optimal is, can you correlate both? And I see huge variances. I see people getting stressed out about their sleep score.
Yep.
Because, oh no, I only got 73 on my Oura rings. And oh God, I was terrible. I'm like, but they go, well, I'm like, how do you feel? Well, I feel pretty good, but I'm really upset about the 73. Well, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not tracking your REM sleep, your deep sleep. Like, and we don't know all of the variants within this because we're still early in this. But I do believe some sort of tracking system, if you can do both digital and physical, and then correlating it with your lifestyle to get that kind of triangulation, is the only way that you're going to be able to legitimately hack sleep for yourself, as well as having an outside resource to help you overcome your patterns and biases that led you to poor sleep. And you need someone that's going to smack you in the head and say, listen, if you eat before you go to bed, not going to work. If you're on your phone before you go to bed, if you're watching TV in the bedroom, if you're not shutting off your Wi-Fi, if you've got dirty plugs and you're sensitive to EMFs, if you're living in Venice Beach, California, in the middle of a 5G like microwave, you might want to consider putting in a Faraday cage or something, you know, depending on the level that you need to go to get that. But it's worth the effort, and the effort will pay dividends if you want to go down that road. And I think since you spend almost a third of your life sleeping, probably a good investment.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate you kind of spelling that out, of how coming from someone who's been in this field for a long time, has tested a lot of things to really validate and underscore the importance of this area that I think has been a bit of an afterthought for quite a while. It's been exercise, nutrition. Oh yeah. And of course, sleep is important, what have you, but it hasn't necessarily gotten its due as far as the importance that that can really play in helping from a bi-directional relationship with all these other things that we do for health and well-being. So appreciate that. And you also touched on that there's so many things that we can do, whether it's EMF related, whether it's from a health style perspective, mindset, all of these things can get really nuanced. So for you, as someone that has created this, you know, really huge supplement company in particular, and have also put out education around different books and materials to really help support people that are, you know, really on this journey and looking to get really curious and engage and test different things. When you think of sleep, what are some of the things that you are addressing for people top down, or is it more nuanced than that? Certainly from a bio individual perspective, what do you see, you know, even if we start with the supplement piece, or if you see another element that we can't go past without touching on?
Well, I always say, and this is kind of unusual from someone that owns a supplement company, you can't supplement your way out of a bad lifestyle, but the right supplement to your lifestyle integrations can push you over the top. And that's where we fit in. We call our company Bio-Optimizers because we're into biological optimization, optimizing the biology. But we have to put a set of principles in place first. So what do we have? What are the variables that it comes down to? And they're so boring, but they're true. And you need to keep going over them. And the two biggest ones, I think, is your diet and your lifestyle.
Yes.
People who experience the best sleep have a consistent routine that doesn't lead to bad sleep. And the people people who have bad sleep have a consistent routine to lead to bad sleep.
Yes.
End of story.
Yeah.
And that's not a disempowering statement. It's an empowering statement because we've got this world that we're trying to outsource everything, but you can't outsource your health. You can outsource your health advice or your health accountability. But at the end of the day, I've dealt with people that have all the resources in the world, but will not implement it. I've seen people with extremely limited resources that hack a lot of stuff at very low cost.
Yeah.
So really it's your motivation and your creativity. But at the end of the day, you have to take care of your health. The second thing, I think we'll just, what's the big elements? Stop eating at least 3 hours before you go to bed.
Yes. Huge.
Stop eating. Stop eating. Like, we eat too much, period. I love to eat. I have to watch myself. I will eat too much so easily. I grew up eating before you go to bed. We always had a snack before bed. That was part of the deal.
Yes.
Right? It was like where 100%, I grew up. How we did it was breakfast, dinner, supper. People, well, where's lunch? Everything in between was a lunch. Where I grew up, like, so you had a lunch for here and a lunch for that and a lunch for that or a snack. So, you know, I remember when I went to the West Coast, I'd say, well, let's go for dinner. And they thought it was 6 o'clock. And I'm like, no, and like dinner's at noon, right? It was just it was a localization. And it was confusing for me for many years. And I was called. So you have, but all that say, that's the first thing. Second thing, I think looking at your genetics, having someone interpret that to see how negatively impacted you are by EMFs.
Mm.
Some people, EMFs doesn't really bother that much. And we can see that with aquaporin responsiveness. And we see other people that, and aquaporin is the kind of channels where things flow in and out of your cells, for those who don't know. And other people are hugely affected. And I have friends on both ends of the spectrum. Mm. I'd say I'm in between. I notice it, but can get past it. I have noticed the difference since I moved to California. Venice, very different than when I'm living in Sedona or even when I was in Vancouver.
Sure.
There's a difference.
Big, yeah.
I feel it. And so I'm looking at, I've got to upgrade my sleep game because it's not as good as it has been in the past because of the location I'm in. So there's a threshold of how much EMF is impacting. And I've crossed that threshold recently. And I'm like, that's interesting to note. I think the next thing you got to look at is your mattress quality. I think getting a right mattress. And for example, I lift weights. And so I have wider shoulders and a narrower waist. I can really crank myself and disrupt my sleep pattern and, you know, tendencies to put your hands over your head as opposed to below the head. That's effective. I'm more of a face sleeper or a side sleeper. You can build out your mattress around that. And whether that's doing through a super customized things like Essentia mattress or one of these like Cloud or all these different mattress companies and having that, wonderful if you want to do that and you have the money. But if not, how do you get the softness and really think about what's right for your body and for your partner? If you have a partner like that, that's, you're going to have to work that stuff out. You need to have a conversation about it. You need to work this out.
Yes.
Period. So have a conversation. That's the next thing. So food that, and then three, if you take people with really bad sleep issues, take them out of the digital world, put them up in the woods somewhere and make them live like people did 100 years ago, sleep problems go away. You come home, you're wiped out, you go to sleep because you feel like it and you have a deep, refreshing, I feel good sleep. We have become so sedentary and so stimulated. We've created this biochemical cascade that is creating anxiety, disruption, distraction, FOMO, blah, 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 you name it. All of these things are happening. And we've got to learn how to manage the most powerful hypnotic device on the planet. These things are ruining our lives. They're also making life really wonderful, but we have got to, as biohackers, as people want our help, you got to exert extreme levels of discipline around this unit. So with your food program, no eating 3 hours before you go to bed, you got to set the time point. And you can do this with, if you're testing with sleep, What is the point that you've got to shut all this blue light producing EMF saying stimulatory dopamine response mechanisms, what do you want to call them? Phones?
Yes.
When do you shut it off? And if you can't shut it off, well, now you have to recognize that you have an addiction. Plain it straight up, like cocaine, like alcohol, yeah. like pot, whatever that is. You got a drug addiction. The drug is just delivered to your brain through a light. It's a light delivered drug to your brain, and you're an addict. And I'm not saying that in a
the reality of the facts. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in a rural area. We're not very polite.
Bulldozers.
Yeah. You run bulldozers and wood chopping blocks and things like the communication is very curt. It's very loud. It's very direct, and it's oftentimes very threatening as someone is communicating something to you in a very terse, precise, aggressive way so that you don't kill yourself or somebody else.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you get used to that because the niceties of society are going away, and you need to be that brutally honest with yourself in your sleep. It's time to kiss the pleasantries goodbye, because if you're not getting good sleep, you're destroying your life, your relationships, your families. I've done that. I got my sleep off track. It ruined a relationship. It ruined my health. It ruined my happiness. And it took me a whole 6 to 8 months to get that back. And I'm supposed to be the advocate for it. So I'm trying to share this to people. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, because I made these mistakes, and these are the conversations I had to have with myself. I need to not eat at night. I need to shut off the blue light, regardless of what's happening in my business. In fact, I jettisoned one of my businesses. I had to stop traveling all over the world, which I love. I had to stop.
Yeah.
Right? And I had to re-examine how I handled stress and communication, which is still ongoing. I've gotten professional assistance in those areas. And then I developed nutritional supplements as well, in addition to using these hacks that you talk about on your podcast about improving your sleep. So thank you for that. That's a lot. It's a mouthful, but I just want to lay it out.
Yeah.
It's not a magic bullet. It's systematically taking apart your lifestyle and your habits and then re-engineering in a way that leads to good sleep.
Well, I appreciate you kind of going through that, because it's not anyone that goes into the state of, well, you know, you just take this or you do this one thing and then it's handled, you know, it really can do some damage in this area because it is so multifaceted. It's such a huge barometer of the workability of your life, and it's going to go in and out of workability constantly. It's going to be something that evolves, and something that worked for you before might not. But I love what you're speaking to of being authentic and real with yourself and not kind of sugarcoating things and really getting clear from a place of that really sense of urgency and awareness that this is so crucial for our health and well-being. And with that comes the power to make a difference with some of these other areas. So really, really well said. And from that place, one topic that we've spoken about on Sleep as a Skill has been this topic of chronopharmacology. So the timing of your drugs. And when we say that, and that can go, of course, into the timing of some of those prescription drugs we spoke to, but it can also go into the timing of supplements, and it can go into the timing of even things very, very commonly used drugs like caffeine, alcohol, THC, all of these. So one thing that I really love about your company is you're really looking to innovate and have innovated in a number of areas, including some that seem to down the road affect sleep. So things like having other alternatives to just tons of caffeine or coffee or teas or what have you, having nootropic options that might be more well-tailored and focused to what you're looking to achieve and have some balance to them so that you can support the kind of arousal system so that the sleep-wake cycle isn't really just obliterated at the end of the day. And then from that chronopharmacology perspective, the evening, and then having other things, drugs that can help support kind of a winding down or, you know, giving you some of that assistance in a really hyped up world as you're looking to kind of create that balance for yourself. Wondering if you can share about some of those things.
Yeah, we're moving into a new era in nutritional supplementation. And first, I think genetics and epigenetics have opened the door about the variance between individuals. So if we look at, I was like, how do we get to where we're going in nutritional supplementation, targeted nutritional supplementation? And being an athlete, a former bodybuilder, you develop exercises and training programs for various muscle parts to maximally develop that for a visual aesthetic. So it's a natural extension of that. And you put dietary regimes to, again, overcome those two biological tendencies. Okay, so when it comes to supplementations, we have a lot of generalized knowledge. And I think you can begin with that. Probably good for people to take vitamin D because we don't get enough sun. Probably good for most people to take some vitamin C, make sure you get a good mineral supplement. All of those things that we hear about everywhere, though, that's supplementation 101, RDA kind of stuff. Looking at your diet, what are the things that are most likely to be not present in your diet? And I think that's the next level of customization. Now we go to genetics. And we said, okay, well, you have a trouble methylating this. So you would probably want some methylation nutritional supplements and some specific types to help you absorb these things that you're maybe deficient in. Okay. Then you can go, well, then there's the timing of when do you want to take that? That's using chronobiology. And for women, that's even more of an issue because they have a monthly cycle. Men are more of a daily cycle. Women are more of a monthly. So you need to be responsible for that. I'm not an expert in that.
Sure.
Just people want to be clear. But
be aware.
Drive it down. Now you get into, okay, as a formulator, you're looking at, okay, there's various types of that element. Which ones absorbed and utilized by the body? Which ones correlate with your microbiome? Because we're actually not feeding ourselves. We're feeding the bacteria, which provide the elements. You know, our microbiome feeds us, which also plays a big aspect of our sleep cycle. And one of the reasons why eating late, I think, is disruptive because you're activating the system, right? And that's a whole other deal. Especially if you have dysbiosis in the body, you can create a whole chemical cascade that's a nightmare, literally. Or if you have parasitical, you know, critters that are creating, you know, I always say if you're getting the 7-Elevens, it's 11 o'clock at night and you feel like going into 7-Eleven and getting an ice cream sandwich, you probably got some critters running the show, not you.
Yes.
So you can look at the inflammatory agents. And then when you get down to targeted nutrition is developing an array of products that accentuate the positives and reduce the negatives. And that's where we are as a supplement company. We've always been a best in class, first in class, but we have now 13 PhDs and master's students in our lab in the International Birch University,
where we're testing
all these parameters. I mean, very few supplement companies do that. We're literally getting results every single week of tests that we're doing that's allowing us to make better formulation, like some little tiny element added to an enzyme formulation can improve the enzyme formulation 200-300 times. Another medium that you grow various probiotics on can accentuate the growth of that probiotic by 1,000 times. It's wild, some of these things that you would not know if you're not experimenting with them. So when we get to cognitive components, there was one guy that changed what I think the perception of the importance of our cognitive neurochemical natures. And that was a guy by the name of Charles Poliquin, rest in peace. Mm. He was a coach for, I think it was 27 different gold medalists in different sports.
Who's a
professional sports. And he knew a bunch of different languages because he would see there was patterns of study in various countries due to funding and grant and stuff like that. So he could interpret that and see patterns. And he was the first guy to correlate Chinese medicine with Western medicine, and the five elements of Chinese medicine dovetailed perfectly with neurochemical dominance.
Mm.
And neurochemical dominance is a big issue. And for example, most of us are hooked on the dopamine loop, which is to develop skills that lead to survival, but that's been hacked by phones and it's the skills that lead to, I think, anxiety and depression because you're outside of the control mechanisms that dopamine was done for. But he was able to determine that there was a match here. And so your neurochemical dominance can influence how well you sleep. So if you're a dopamine, acetylcholine junkie kind of thing or whatever, you know, oftentimes you are much more susceptible to those hits and you can get to depletion. And if you get to depletion, that's where you start to run out of energy and not have to be able to form and you lose drive. You see this a lot with high drive people going to low drive situations. They don't know what happened. I lost my mojo. kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I work with a ton of poker players, and you'll see the ups and downs, and then they decide, oh, I'm going to go off to a new venture. And then just the lack of that roller coaster can be really jarring, 100%.
Yeah, you see it with military guys coming back from, you know, intense guys and girls who come back from intense combat zones and the defrag period. And then also another great element is rock stars who go on tour and they're on their touring lifestyle and they come home and their life's a disaster because they're like, hey, it's 3 p.m. I want to go hang out with my friends. They're like, I got a job, you know? It's like,
yes.
So they're on a whole cycle. So people who travel a lot, I think, are more susceptible. But going back to that, we're not providing the complete array of neurochemicals that allows us to have a full experience, how allow us to rest properly, and to shut down negative cascades and to upregulate positive cascades for what we want to do. We developed a company called Nootropia that addresses those issues, and we literally customize nootropic formulations for people. And so that's kind of like next level in cognitive enhancement. We just came out with a GABA product because GABA is really good for kind of that Zen product to down-regulate for people that are really high drivers. And I think a lot of people that are listening to this probably are. So you can check that out in Nootropia. You go through a test, which is like a mini Braverman test, big neurochemicals. Our company figures out what's your dominance, what you're depleted in, what you're deficient in. You get an array of products, you test them through our app, you get that feedback, we tweak the formulations directly for you, we go back again and it comes back. And usually people have it down in 60 to 90 days and they can literally turn on whatever brain state they want. That's not going to override diet. That's not going to override exercise. But this is where supplementation is moving towards, I think, and will continue to go that way as encapsulation and more data becomes available to deal with the variances in individuals.
100%. Yeah. And that customization, I think, is so unique. And I had the opportunity to go through that flow and now have myself a whole customized box of all kinds of goodies. And it's really great because also our life is dynamic and we might shift. So for so long, I had the identity of loving caffeine and all things stimulating. And I only just in the beginning of this year shifted over. I'm doing this whole kind of detoxing experiment and now very low to no caffeine. And it's a whole new thing for me to explore. And so to be able to then test out this box with having that not necessarily be as much of a feature, which had been so much of what I would have leaned into in the past to get that extra, oomph. So to have those other things to go to is really fantastic. And I think that's often what we're looking to help facilitate here at Sleep is a Skill, is not just to like, okay, get you sleeping. And it's also for those that are already sleeping fine and they're looking to up level or in alignment with this, using this lens of kind of circadian optimization and Freudian optimization to then facilitate having a fantastic, amazing, huge life. And part of that is to be able to have that awareness of what works and when, what might be detrimental and what might be beneficial. I mean, to have all those tools at your disposal are huge. And that also includes the evening side of things, the downshifting, the downregulation side of things. I have your magnesium formula that I have in the evenings, and to have that to support all the things that I'm doing as well. And many entrepreneurs that I'm working with, myself included, so can have that tendency to want to create a life where there's lots of activity and nonstop moving. And so to really have that lifestyle piece be so dialed in is so huge, to really take responsibility for having that clear off time and then having things to facilitate that is huge. So, and I know you guys have made quite a name for yourself with so many of these products, but including the magnesium. And I wonder if you could just share a bit more about that one as well.
Yeah. So when I ran into my sleep problem, I went to my team. So I have what I call a Jedi Council. And the Jedi Council is kind of like, on Star Wars, you come in and there's a round table of experts, and I get information from them independently to help correlate what's the picture.
Love that.
And one of the interesting things that I discovered on this pathway was that I had two elements that were very low in me. B12, not surprising because I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat products or things like that. So no surprise there. And I was I wasn't being as diligent on my B12 supplementation at that time. The other thing I was surprisingly deficient in was magnesium. And I thought, I have as a plant-based guy, I actually get quite a bit of magnesium in my diet. I'm kind of surprised. And I recalled this lecture, I had gone to Charles Poliquin, and I went and researched my notes, and I found my notes, and he had identified this, and this was a secret aspect, and he identified that different types of magnesium were uptaken by different parts of the body. Now, as an old bodybuilder, I knew that magnesium was a problem because a lot of bodybuilders used to use a diuretic called Slow-K, and which affected potassium, which are related to magnesium. And guys would, if they got it wrong, would die of heart attacks. Mm. And their heart would shut down because, or they would go into extreme levels of cramping on stage, like rigor mortis.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you haven't had cramping from dehydration, and I have, it's extremely painful.
Yeah.
It's not pleasant. It's like, take a Charlie horse times 1,000. It's like, it's debilitating. And so I knew from this that, oh, there's different types of magnesium. I'm deficient. Well, I go and start researching magnesium. Wow, there's orotate, there's malate, there's citrate, there's taurate, there's like 3 and 8. Oh my God. It just became just like everyone else. Well, what's the best magnesium? And to be frank, there's no right answer to that question.
Right.
Okay. Like I want to, like, I'm a guy that makes magnesium. There's no right answer to that because if you're someone that has irregular heartbeats because of magnesium deficiency, and you have someone that has vasoconstriction that gives you migraine headaches or PMS cramps, or you're someone who gets muscle cramps, or maybe you're not able to perform some of your key neurotransmitters. Well, all of those could be related to magnesium deficiency, but all of those will be different types of magnesium, which are best for that particular component. So Matt and I were, Matt being the sleep guru he is, we're like, all right, let's buy every single magnesium on the market that we can get our hands on, the different forms. And we're going to create a spreadsheet and we're going to start taking how much can we take before we get the runs. And so this is like toilet experiments.
Yes. Okay?
Because anybody that's done a high level of magnesium knows it's, you can get disaster bands really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest enemy to that is citrate. So if you are constipated a lot, citrate's probably your best one for constipation because it brings water into the intestinal tract. But for the other things, it was like, we found different results with different things. And over considerable amount of months, we were able to come up with a formulation that we felt addressed the most amount of magnesium deficient needs in the most amount of people. So it's not to the sophisticated level of customization that we could get with neurotransmitters, but it was enough that we could get a bigger effect to more people at less intake. That's a win. And we looked at the elements that helps you absorb and utilize, because we were known as a digestive health company. We always look at not how much you take, it's how much actually gets delivered to the cells. And so we came out with magnesium breakthroughs, 7 different magnesiums. I think we're on our 4th generation of that, because as new research, we just added sucrosomial to the new one, because that's smashing the bioavailability matrix. There's not as much literature as, say, some of the other magnesiums, but what we are noticing is that people are noticing when they updose their magnesium, and I suggest divided dosages throughout the day, starting at 0.5 gram, and then like no more than 0.5 gram 3 times a day. And then you can increase either the amount of dosages that you take or the amount per serving until you get the runs. And then you titrate down 0.5 gram from that to 1 gram, stay at that level. If you get the runs again, drop it again until you get your maintenance level. And so I went all the way up to 6 grams.
Wow.
Which is a ridiculous amount of
magnesium.
Yeah. And I was in a high stress lifestyle. I had to unload and change my, going back, I had to unload my lifestyle components. And that took me a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And then I had to, I changed my movement patterns. I dropped the business. I changed the relationship, like a lot of things got jetted there.
Totally.
And during that time, I went from 6 grams down to what I take now, which is about 1.5 grams a day. 1.5 grams, I exercise a lot, I sweat a lot. So that's the sweet spot for me. Other people are going to end up with 2, other people are going to end up with 3. Most people will find, though, for sleep, a couple of caps before bed, somewhere in an hour before bed, usually will people unwind if you're doing all the other things, and you'll get a deeper sleep in both REM sleep and deep sleep on your sleep scores. And people who track it love it, but more importantly, they feel better.
Yes.
And that's the most, data is one thing, but do you feel better as the ultimate goal? And it's been ridiculous how much feedback we've got from that product.
Ah, well, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for kind of walking us through that, because, you know, anyone even new or has been in this conversation of sleep optimization for a while is likely to have heard some rumblings of magnesium and its importance. And I feel like you're doing such a great job of addressing the nuanced fact that there's so many versions and types of magnesium, and there might be certain ones that are going to make a difference for you, and that there's a dosing that you can explore and that might be dynamic and it might shift based on the types of foods you're eating, the stress levels, and being responsible for those stress levels. I love that you also shared and just suffer through all those things. You actually made the hard decisions to shift some of those things and make things more workable. And then in alignment with that, your dosage shifts. So these things are things that take a really present and awake mind behind the wheel to intelligently adjust these and not just take them because someone else takes a certain amount or what have you. So really, really fantastic and important call outs. And since we're already, you know, have learned so much from you, even just in this one conversation, would love to hear a bit more too about how you're managing your own sleep. And I'm sure it's also dynamic and shifts, but the first one is, what might we see with your nightly sleep routine? And that could shift with travel or other things, but what might be important to note?
Well, I think one of the biggest factors that there's two factors that I've noticed influences my sleep the most. And that is the amount of stimulants that I use during a day.
Yes.
And I love stimulants. I love my nootropic. I love caffeine.
Right there with you.
I'm a guy that loves the up.
Yeah. So,
right? I'm a stimulatory guy. I like that jet. I feel good on it. So that's one factor. If I find my sleep's disrupted, probably took too many stimulants.
Yes.
Number two is my cycle beforehand. So for example, some CBD products really help me get into sleep. Some CBD products wake me up.
Yeah.
There's a big variance on that. And I've experimented with that. And it's a pretty big variance.
Mm-hmm.
Len May does an endocannabinoid test. Mm-hmm. You can dial in the specifics of which cannabinoid receptors might be best for your biology. So it's a DNA test you can do. I had him on my podcast. It's a great thing if you're into CBD, because that's all the rage right now. But
yes,
the right CBD for you at the right time is, it's just like everything else. It's no one size fits all. That's a big factor. And then the amount of, shall I say, unresolved things in my life that's eating away at me is a big thing. And so that could be personal issues. It could be business stress. It could be family. So like there's a bunch of different things. And I have noticed, and I've become more acutely aware of that now, is these, the more open loops about that I have in my head, two things. It often leads me to more stimulatory behavior.
Yes.
So that blue light stuff, whether it's taking stimulants, what's that sort of stuff. But then I find if I'm waking up at night, that's an issue. The other thing I would add to that is temperature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big.
In LA, I live out by the beach, so you get big variances in temperature. One night it's 75 degrees, the next night it's 66 degrees. And so I make sure that I get my temperature below 68 degrees every night. Because that's a big factor in my sleep process. And I've decided now that I'm probably going to have to add a Faraday cage, because I've been tracking my stuff and I've noticed. And a Faraday cage, for people who don't know, you can get these kind of like canopies that go over your bed. I just think since they've advocated the 5G stuff, and maybe this is tinfoil hat stuff or whatever, I feel more stimulated in my body and less recovered. I do feel that there is an impact to it for me.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth investigating, and I'm going to attempt that. And one of the big things is I went out to Sedona to do some NAD.
Yes.
Stuff with Katrine, a friend of
ours. Yes, absolutely. She's got a great
awesome,
setup there.
Big winner on the NAD treatments.
100%.
And, but I noticed my sleep over in Sedona and my meditations were off the charts relative to where I was here in LA. And I'm like, that's a really big gap. And it's only a 7-hour drive.
Yes. So,
like, my life didn't change in that 7 hours that much. What changed is the environment I'm living in. So obviously that was a clear indication, which I just had recently, is like, okay, we gotta up the sleep game over here in LA now.
Well, keep us posted on you're tracking your sleep, or do you use trackers?
I gave up all my trackers.
You gave up all the trackers. Okay.
I'm going by, did I wake up at night?
Yep.
How did I feel inside the morning, and how well I stayed with my routine, both in my meditation? Was I able to get deep in my meditation, or was I not able to get deep? And then how well was my sleep? And if I get everything right, I'm in bed at 9:30. After a great meditation, I wake up in the morning, I have a meditation, my sleep is uninterrupted at night, and I wake up refreshed and I kick ass at the gym. So those are the parameters. And I did sleep tracking for a couple of years.
Sure, yeah.
But I started getting the FOMO around the thing, and sometimes it's secondary data, and I wasn't so sure about it. So
totally get that.
And I know there's a lot of biohackers that are going to slap me at the next event. That's fine. I understand.
No, it's all great. Well, I was asking only because wanted to follow if you end up going down the rabbit hole and Faraday cages and what have you to see any of the shifts. But even from a kind of intuitive sense and that subjective sense, would be curious to hear your results. So keep us posted on that with the Faraday cage endeavors and what have you.
And just so people know, Matt, who's been leading the way in our research and is a sleep expert, in my opinion. He's really good at the nuances of it because he struggled with it and had to get it.
Sure.
He has worked with our lab team to build a customized sleep product, which we'll be probably bringing out later this year, because there are several elements that you can use that are going to be variants. And just kind of like Newtopia, we're going to have a dial-up customizable kind of sleep system for people to go through. And so we're excited about that. And we've been working on that for several years.
Amazing. Well, I'm definitely going to want to hear the latest and the greatest about that. And we'll have to share about that more, because that's going to be huge.
Yeah, you'll want Matt on that one, because he's as deep as it gets on that. I mean, he gets crazy about that stuff, and I love that about him.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, that might in the future be answering this next question, which is, what might we see on your nightstand or your proverbial nightstand if you're traveling, like apps, ambiance, supplements, what have you? And so possibly down the road, those supplements might be there, but any call outs that that might be important for us to know?
That is one thing that I've used and it works really well.
Nice.
I can release all elements. I do take magnesium every night. I do take probiotics every night, and I try not to eat too late, because that's big. Eating late is probably the biggest disruptor for me.
Yep. 100%. I mean, and we see that all the time. So every client we're working with is wearing at least an Oura ring. Some of them are big time biohackers, so they might have like four or five things that they're tracking on Excel spreadsheets and craziness. But so for those people, I cannot even explain the number of times that we go through, oh, what happened on this night? And the heart rate was high, HRV tanked, body temperature was up, respiratory rate was up, all of these things that indicate just a lack of really their optimal levels of recovery. And we look at what happened that previous day and night, and the number of times that, well, yeah, we went out to dinner late with friends and what have you. And just, I do not think it can be underestimated how important this is. And for people listening, I mentioned the book Circadian Code a trillion times, but I'll mention it again. That's a great kind of gateway to this conversation of how much the things that we do affect this really important, these biorhythms. So our ultradian rhythms, circadian rhythms, and infradian rhythms for women. And they are aware and awake behind the wheel, and they are looking to see what cues, and the food component is just such a huge one that I think many people aren't getting. So thank you for underscoring that. Yes. Anything else that we might see on the nightstand, or is that kind of address
it? It's really funny. People love this. I travel with electrical tape.
Me too. Same.
You get to hotels and they have all those lights on and stuff.
Yeah.
I unplug that stuff. I tape stuff up, because they always have the most face of blue light things or green light flashing on the other side of them.
Yeah.
Or the one that drives me the craziest is the smoke alarms.
Oh, I know.
You know, that bright red light, you wake up, you're like, what the hell? You know, so I use electrical tape. It's a kind of like MacGyverish for those who don't grew up in that. But anyways, that's one of the things I use.
And if anyone has trouble with tearing that, gaffer's tape is really helpful too. Black gaffer's tape. And so you can kind of rip it on the go. That is a great call out. And I think underestimated how important that can just have to be stashed in your luggage on the regular. So great. And then the last one would be, what has made the biggest change to your sleep game, or maybe the biggest aha moment for you in this area of managing your sleep?
Whew. That's lifestyle. And that's partly to when you get to middle age, you have a perspective. You realize that there's less grains at the top of the, what do you call it, the hourglass.
Oh, than yes, the, sure. Yeah.
And the grains below are much prettier white than the ones above. You're taking nice white sand going through that. So you look at that and you start to reevaluate what's important and what's valuable in your life. You also end up having friends that have died, family yeah. members oftentimes, and it realizes that you can really get caught in the circus of life and the ongoing FOMO type things, which are amplified by social media and digital information that we haven't learned to manage yet. And so at some point in time, you have to ask yourself the question, what's enough? Mm. What's enough? And I had to let go of business, and I had to let go some where I lived on the planet, and I had to let go of some travel in order to what I feel live my best life. I don't regret those changes. Mm. I regret yeah. that I didn't make the changes soon enough or have the hard conversation. So I would say the final statement I'd leave for people is what I've learned around sleep and everything else in life, relationships, business, your health, your family members, all that stuff. The quality of your life is going to be determined by the willingness and frequency that you're willing to have hard conversations mm. with yourself and the people around you, not in a condemnation way, but in a way saying, hey, I'm not feeling comfortable about this. This is the result of this. This is not a blame game. This is a conversation of empowerment. It's like, hey, something is not working here. This doesn't feel right. Doesn't look right. Doesn't matter. How can we bring resources to the table to address those issues like adults instead of children? And the world is becoming idolizing infantile behavior. And we have to start becoming adults in the room with ourselves and the people around us, because that's all we can control. We can't control what's out there, but we can control what's in our lives and take as much of it as possible. And then you start to realize is now you become an agent for your own health and your lifestyle. And all of the responsibility falls in life. Not everybody gets a great deck of cards. I get that. But you do have the option of how you play that hand. And I say, play the hand to the best that you can. You're going to take some losses. You're going to have some wins. Don't get too high. Don't get too low, but go play it. Go play it to the best of your ability.
Ah, I love that. And any of the poker players listening will appreciate that analogy. And it's so true. And the truth is, you know, with my story that I've shared often, going through this journey of sleep, kind of being at my rock bottom and sleep being a huge component of that. And so much of the process of getting out of that, a big portion was behavioral based, the same changes that you spoke to of like, oh, got to cut the business that's not working, cut the relationship that's not working, be responsible for this, get responsible for this, you know, really stepping into that ownership of ourselves and our life. So, so huge. And that's, you know, beyond just a gadget or a gizmo or what have you. And often we might be looking for that because we're desperately wanting that solution tonight. And often it does take that deeper work. So I so appreciate you sharing that. And I think it's very incredibly wise as you head into this next chapter of your life with the 50th birthday coming up. So
I would caveat one thing on that too. It was the relationship that cut me, not the other way around.
Yes. And sometimes right. that shakes things up for sure. Yeah.
Well, I always say if you don't get the lesson, it's going to come back to you in increasing frequency and intensity until you get it. And sometimes you don't get it and it becomes a terminal issue. And sleep deprivation kills.
Yes.
It literally kills people.
Absolutely.
And so thank you so much for everything that you do and that you're out there and giving people the resources and making them readily available for people. It's a great gift. And I encourage everybody to triple down on Molly's stuff. It's an area that I kind of poo-pooed early in my life because it was something I'd mastered.
And so I did the same back in the day. Yes. Until you couldn't get past it.
Yeah. When I'm dead, you know? So... But now I learned my lesson and I'm working towards improving it myself.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the acknowledgement. I so appreciate that. And the feeling is beyond mutual, you know, really excited to have been introduced to your company a while ago, and this has been a real part of my life now to have this, the connection to a company that really I see walks their talk and is continually looking to improve. And for us over here at Sleep as a Skill, we're not often mentioning a lot of supplement companies because we are so behavioral based. And so when we do align with different supplement companies and feel like the ethos is there, it really does, we take that really seriously. So really appreciate all the work you're doing. And I'm sure anyone listening, for all the wisdom that you provided today, is going to want to learn more about you and your company. So what are the best ways for people to do that?
Well, one of the fun things, I think a lot of people are, if they go to our site, they can get on Bioptimizers or BioTribe. We got a whole lot of biohackers who are communicating in that space. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You can go to bioptimizers.com, ID Love, Facebook, all that sort of stuff. I'll be frank. I'm brought into specific components to curated conversations. That's why I think BioTribe is probably the best. You get the most dynamics, not just from myself and Matt, but from other biohackers where you're sharing that data in an organic way. I think that's really fun. And then like I said, all the social media or company and all that sort of stuff, it's just bioptimizers.com, and we'll see you at some of the events.
Amazing. Absolutely. I know. I just had the opportunity to see your team at Biohacking Congress. I believe you'll be at PaleoFX. And
yeah, we're going down to PaleoFX. I'm really excited about that event. And of course, Dave Asprey.
Oh, yes, of course. Dave Asprey's event and KetoCon and all of those. Absolutely. But having said that, so in synopsis, I just so appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. And we'll be looking forward to hearing more about your Faraday cage experiments and what have you in the future.
You've been listening to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, the number one podcast for people who want to take their sleep skills to the next level. Every Monday, I send out something that I call Molly's Monday Obsessions, containing everything that I'm obsessing over in the world of sleep. Head on over to sleepisaskill.com to sign up.